From WHQR Public Media, this is The Newsroom. I'm Ben Schachman. Thanks for listening to this special edition for the 2025 Wilmington City Council election. This year, there are three open seats on council, and we have eight candidates, including six challengers and two incumbents. We also have three candidates for mayor, including our incumbent mayor. While the city council race is technically nonpartisan, the local Democratic and Republican parties do play a role in supporting candidates. For city council, we have four Republican candidates and four Democratic candidates. Although the County Democratic Party implemented a straw poll to narrow its support to three of those candidates, and one of the two Democrats running for mayor. And we'll have more information about all of that on the show page. On today's show, we're interviewing Democratic challenger Chiquima Clinton-Quintana, an advocate for inclusive economic development and director of Channel, a small business center powered by Live Oak Bank, who's running for a seat on Wilmington City Council. We'll ask her a host of questions drawn from listeners and readers and our community agenda program. All right, Chiquima Clinton-Quintana, candidate for Wilmington City Council. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate you.
So before we get into all of our very fun policy questions, I want to give you a chance to tell people who don't already know you a little bit about yourself.
Well, that's only a few people, but here we go. My name is Chiquima Clinton-Quintana. I was born and raised out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, moved to Raleigh in 1999. And I was there up until 2019 when I was recruited by a company that you all know, Live Oak Bank, as their compliance officer, and eventually took on an initiative called Channel, powered by Live Oak Bank. So I've been here since 2019. That's about 6 years, a little over six. I've enjoyed the area. I thought I was coming to just go to work and go to the beach, you know, every weekend. But, you know, you can't help but get involved here in the Wilmington community. And therefore, here I am doing a lot of things that I enjoy doing. And one of those is really being involved in the community and helping people.
All right. And we're asking all of the candidates which party they're affiliated with. I know technically this is a nonpartisan race, but a question comes up all the time. So for the record, if you're affiliated with a party, which party and why?
I am affiliated with the Democratic Party. I have always been affiliated with the Democratic Party. That is how my parents and family raised me. I've done research and I've just remained here. It's to me, it's a decent party. And so I've gotten the backing from them and we're going to move forward.
All right.
Proud to be a Democratic person.
All right. All right, so this probably won't surprise you, but when we're out in the community and we're asking people what's top of mind, one of the things that comes up right away is affordable housing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so let's start here. You know, what are your thoughts on what the city of Wilmington has been doing, should be doing, could be doing on affordable housing?
Well, I think that, you know, the current Wilmington City Council, City of Wilmington, has done a pretty decent job. However, we still have a major problem, and it's not going away. This sort of reminds me, I'm going to date myself here, reminds me of the 2007 housing crunch when I worked for Home Ec Servicing, which was a subsidiary of Wells Fargo. And so there used to be a time that people were able to just state their income and buy a house. So you could go and tell a lie and say, I make $300,000 a year, and you could buy any home possible. But eventually, when it came time to pay that mortgage, you got caught up, couldn't do it, which caused a big debacle in 2007. So 2008 area. You know, lots of foreclosures. I foreclosed on a lot of homes back then. There were a lot of people who were being put out. They just couldn't find anywhere to stay. And so this was a bit much. Not necessarily the same, but, you know, in this case, it's the feeling that I get when we have so many people that are unhoused or, as we use the term, homeless. I have been an advocate of homelessness since I was a young kid. My prayer has always been, God, please shelter the homeless and feed the hungry. And I still use that prayer to this date. I think that our unhoused situation is not only the city's job to help, you know, come up with real solutions, but also the county, which we know backed out, along with our other nonprofit organizations. We have a lot of nonprofit organizations here in Wilmington. And I think that, you know, with, you know, sitting down, really looking at what resources we have, I think we could do a better job of coming up with, you know, long-term real solutions and helping our unhoused. Our unhoused are not just people who were bused here, as I've heard that rumor. I don't know how true that is. However, unhoused could be those folks who have lost their homes due to jobs, right? I like to use the term that my mom and dad would always say, we're only one or two paychecks away from being homeless. And that's everyone. One major emergency, one broken leg, a trip to the doctor's office, a death in the family, four blown tires, you name it. These are things that could all put us in some sort of rut. So I just think that we could do a lot better in looking at our resources and how we strategically plan to address the housing issue. One of the things I am looking at is we allow developers to come in and build, you know, apartment complexes. This does help, but if you're building a 350-unit apartment complex and there is, let's say we're giving them 10% to make affordable housing, I think we could go up on that, maybe a 20 or 30%. And that's a good start. We also have some open, like, I can't help, but I don't know about you, Ben, but I'm riding past Kmart a lot. The old Kmart parking lot that's still sitting vacant. I've been here over 6 years. There's nothing there. What are we doing with that? Who owns it? Why haven't we negotiated something? I need to know these answers because that's a very big eyesore, and everyone's probably asking the same question. Why don't we have something else like that? Why have we not duplicated services such as Good Shepherd? You know, they're doing a great job. They have day services. They have a night dinner. They have lunch. They have breakfast. You're bringing people in from the cold, the heat, and even addressing some of their mental and physical or, you know, health issues. This is something that we should be duplicating, in my opinion.
So a couple of follow-ups here. One, when it comes to the affordable housing issue, we've heard pushback, including, as you alluded to, some folks at the county, about whether it is, you know, appropriate for government or worthwhile, or if there's a good return on investment for the government to be putting money into subsidizing affordable housing. Other people feel like that's the only way it's gonna get built. So if it came down to brass tacks and you're doing the city council budget, you know, is that a good use of taxpayer money from your point of view to help incentivize in whatever way, you know, more affordable units?
Yes, I believe it is a good use of taxpayers' money to help incentivize, you know, affordable housing units. We have a problem. It's not going to fix itself. So we have to think about that.
My other follow-up question is about the homelessness issue, which, you know, is, you know, at least as we think about it in the newsroom here, it is kind of a housing problem.
It's definitely a housing problem.
And to your point, you know, I think about all the time if, you know, I were to lose my job, I think I am a paycheck and a half away.
Right. I mean, I think most of us are.
My apartment complex evicts swift, expeditiously.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
North Carolina law.
Very, it's rapid.
Yeah.
And so, actually, once I forgot to pay my rent online, I have until the 5th. And on the 6th, there was an eviction notice on my door.
Yeah.
And I had to go down the office and be like, I am really sorry. Please don't evict me.
Well, I thank God for my apartment complex because I actually thought I clicked a button online but didn't follow all the way through. And they called me on the 6th and say, hey, Shakima, you know, you're so good at paying everything, but you... And I was like, you know what? I thought I clicked a button. Maybe I... And that's exactly what it was. So, I mean, we make mistakes, but yes, they do evict quite quickly.
Yeah. So for the homeless issue, there's been a lot of discussion about this over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious how you have seen some of this debate.
Well, so you know, Ben, I'm very transparent. I work downtown, so I can see a lot of our unhoused people. So when I first started working downtown, they were all on 3rd Street where the library was, right, or currently is now. And that was sad. I could see all of their belongings, them sitting there sleeping. And I kept saying, something needs to be done. Well, then all of a sudden they were gone. And I kept wondering, where did they go? Where did they push them out to? And so you'd see a few more. I know business owners are frustrated. I heard their concerns during some of the city council, all of the city council meeting, because I was there as well. Here's the thing, though. I've watched downtown. I love to see a clean downtown, but that doesn't mean that just because we're putting a flower pot or removing a bench to keep people from sleeping is the fix-all, be-all, okay? I also know that I have come to work many a days, and I've seen a gentleman that slept in front of the Finkelstein building. However, he wasn't urinating or pooping in front of that building. So I think sometimes when we're complaining about the homeless population and being downtown and being a problem, we really need to be careful that we're blaming them for certain issues. When I see the unhoused, they're going across the street to the parking deck to utilize the bathroom. They're not using the bathroom in front of buildings. I've been downtown at night, and they're not doing that either. Who I have seen downtown using the bathroom outside of buildings are people who have come out of bars, and they are drunk. Mm. And they are peeing along the side of the buildings and so forth. So I'll leave that there, because it's not always what people make it out to be. So that's the truth.
Yeah.
Real talk.
I used to work downtown in bars, and I have seen plenty of that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So I think when you've been homeless long enough, I've been homeless for 2 days. I was homeless for 2 days. I didn't like it.
It's a hard 2 days.
It's a hard 2 days. Thank God it wasn't more than that. But when people who are truly homeless, listen, they have a routine. They have a routine as to where they're going to sleep, how they're going to sleep, how they're going to wrap up, when they're going to use the bathroom, if they're wearing diapers, whatever the case may be. They're not always the ones that are, doing their business on the side of these buildings. So I just want to put that out there. I thought that was a little bit much when, some business owners were complaining about that. I'm not saying that they weren't. I'm just saying not all of them are doing that.
Yeah. I want to ask another question about development, and this is something we hear, especially with those large apartment complexes.
Mm-hmm.
Every time one comes before either the Planning Commission or the city,
mm-hmm.
We hear pushback from neighbors who just feel like development is out of control in this region.
Mm-hmm.
By the same token, I think most of the experts we've talked to have said, more units online in our region, whether that's luxury, market rate, or affordable, is all part of the housing solution, because we have a deficit of units. So how do you find that balance between, regions growing, people need a place to live, but also we hear some real frustrations from people about, whether it's the character of the town or they're losing green space or whatever it is, that they feel like there's too much development too fast.
Mm. That's a good question. And I think, we really have to start looking outside of the box. Again, you have the old Kmart building that's just sitting there, right? And so I saw an article in UNCW had to house 300 students elsewhere. So we're talking about even the city of Wilmington has a housing issue, and UNCW. Great that the students want to come, but you have nowhere really to put them. And so I think from a balance standpoint, we need to, again, think outside of the box. So if that is, extra space in homes that people are renting to those college students, then let's do that. If you have people who are moving here, family members and so forth, do you expand into a larger home to allow family members to stay or stick together? Or is that something where you say, do the math, the cost of living, where you're coming to. I get it. Everyone wants to live and work at the beach. It sounds great until it's not. Right now, it's kind of a not situation. I don't know how we really balance that per se. I just think that we really need to think outside of the box and look at people with extra land, or if you have two homes, are you going to rent one out? You know, I've heard about duplexes downtown. That would be great. Duplexes are all over the U.S., but why are they not downtown? What type of city ordinance are we, you know, keeping people from doing that, or the larger homes that they can make into duplexes, or an apartment, four apartments? My grandmother had a house in Winston-Salem, and her house was big enough to turn into about three different apartments. But she allowed, you know, uncle and family, and of course we stayed in that house for years, but it was perfect. So
I'm always curious what people think about this. And this is, you know, the city could allow, but someone would have to take the initiative. A developer would have to do this. But
yeah,
it's been suggested that downtown would be a good place for more density and height. But do you think Wilmington's ready for like a taller skyline? Because we've got a pretty low profile skyline for our city.
I don't know if we're ready. I don't know all the details behind that. So like, you know, from a development standpoint, there's one building that's across the street from Channel. What is that building, the name of that?
Oh, right in front. And
Yeah, it's like, on the corner, and it's really tall.
It is, yeah. What's interesting is that if you look at the sides of the building, it is, so the part that faces the street is very, it's fully finished. It's nice. But the sides are like unfinished brick because they assumed that it would be neighbored by other nine-story buildings.
And not.
And that never really happened.
Yeah. Why is that?
The railroad went away. And we never got back to that kind of urban boom, I guess. And so now people feel like we're a sleepy little town.
We're far from a sleepy little town.
I know. All right, so I want to pivot. One other thing about development that comes up a lot, and that is green space.
Yes.
And I mean, it's a broad category because that could be anything from, you know, the urban tree canopy to, you know, parks and stuff like that. But I'm just curious where you think the city fits into that equation.
Well, I do think the city fits into that. Definitely, you know, one of the things I'm going to say something that's probably going to ruffle some people's feathers, but what do I care about ruffling feathers? That's what we do, right? There was a comment made during another forum and said, well, everybody knows that we need to protect the tree canopy. I'm going to tell you that everybody doesn't know that we need to protect the tree canopy, because there are people who don't understand what that means. And so there are, and I'm not trying to take this back to just black and brown people, but we're not worried about trees as black and brown people. Some of us are not. I won't say we're all not, but some of us are not, because we're too busy trying to find a place to live, raise kids, get a good paying job, get educated, and so forth. And so the likelihood of us really focusing on the tree canopy is not happening, one, because we're not educated about the tree canopy. I think that we could take this and add some type of living webinar educational content on the city site, so that when people do have a chance to think about what's going on, why are there no parks, how can I plant a tree? What can I do? This information lies somewhere conveniently so that they can take those Apple and Samsung iPhones and click a link and get educated. So, but yes, I personally think it's important. You know, get a lot of oxygen from trees too. Good oxygen, right?
Yeah, and shade when it's 100 degrees.
And shade when it's 100 degrees outside. Cool. But yeah, we should definitely educate more of our public on that and why it's so important, instead of just assuming that everyone knows.
I want to ask your thoughts on economic development.
Yes, and let's talk about economic development.
This means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So, you know, at one end, you sort of got, you know, direct government incentives, like the package that was put together for PBD back in the day, or Live Oak Bank.
Yes.
Or
yes.
National Gypsum. And there's been some state investments as well that the city has joined. And then you've got, you know, sort of a softer touch where it's more about maybe bringing a business owner to Wilmington, you know, as a guest at a concert at Live Oak Pavilion or during the Wells Fargo Golf Challenge, and just kind of hoping that organically that business owner sees the region, falls in love, and sets up shop. And that has actually happened in the past.
Yeah.
And then there's sort of the smaller scale. We talk about, you know, whale hunters and fishers. So some people are going after like a Corning or a GE, and some people are more focused on helping, you know, mom and pop businesses. So all of that kind of falls under the broad umbrella of economic development. So I'm curious how you think about the city's role in that broad category.
Yeah. So, and this is a really good question. I love it. I think the city does play a role in economic development when it comes to our recruitment of small businesses, as well as the larger businesses to come here. I mean, when you're talking about building a great city to live in, you want some of those, you know, a good healthy balance. Some of the larger businesses like your Live Oaks, your PPD, Corning, so forth. But as you know, Ben, I work for a channel powered by Live Oak Bank, and we have been open since November 15, 2021. And we help small business owners, people with ideas of a side hustle. You know, there are about 44 million people out there with side hustles. We want to take some of those people and make those side hustles legal businesses so that they learn that, you know, hey, you went to school for a specific trade, or you're really good at, you know, cutting hair, baking cakes, whatever the case may be. You're great at creating apps. That's your lane, but I want to teach you how to run the business. So anywhere from marketing, accounting, tax prep, you know, one-on-one coaching, that's what Channel does. And, you know, from an economic development standpoint, small businesses are the backbone of our Wilmington city. And this is how we continue to grow. We create jobs through that. So workforce development pieces. Anything from entrepreneurship and being able to support your family. I personally think that's a great thing. You have, we are number one in North Carolina for small businesses. I don't know if everyone knew that or not. The governor came down, I think it was about a month ago, and he and the mayor and so forth. But this is a really good thing when you're talking about supporting local. And so when that happens, we can all live and work hopefully in our city, if we get the affordable housing right, because it's not fair that we have wonderful businesses who are here doing great things, but we have to live outside of our city, especially entrepreneurs, right? You want them to be able to build a business here in the Wilmington area that they love and support and to be able to live here as well. So that kind of ties back into our affordable housing issues.
Do you feel like the city could either fund or do some of the same kind of work that Channel is doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the government has probably taken back a lot of things, but the city could still, and the county, we have a huge endowment that could also support that work. But you have, I'm part of, Channel is part of the coalition, so that includes the YWCA, Genesis Block, the CIE, Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, the SBDT, Small Business Development and Tech Center, and the list just goes on. But there are several of us that work with small businesses here in the city of Wilmington. So honestly, there is no reason why a small business owner shouldn't be successful with all of the things and resources that are here. And, of course, I'm not plugging anything, but Channel's resources are free to our small business owners along with the membership.
Every candidate gets one free plug.
One free plug. Yeah. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. All right. So speaking of economic development, you know, over the last 20 plus years, I've watched Wilmington grow, a lot of economic success, a lot of people have become successful, become affluent. That hasn't, that rising tide has not lifted all ships equally.
That's right.
There is a fair amount of pretty conspicuous economic inequality. Mm-hmm. And in Wilmington, that looks a lot like racial inequality.
Yeah.
And so we're asking all the candidates, you know, what, if anything, do you feel like the city's role is in addressing that issue?
Yeah, the city's role in addressing that issue could be as simple as making sure that we are looking at applications, all applications. We're looking at small business owners, all small business owners, to see who is qualified, certified businesses. You know, those are the things that they can do in order to make sure that we're looking at everything from a the words DE&I that people try to stay away from. Chiquima doesn't. I wholeheartedly believe that diversity, equity, and inclusion still matter, regardless of whether everyone wants to erase that from their hearts or sites or
websites.
Businesses,
yeah.
You know, I get it. It's, you know, whatever they decided to do, but it still exists. If you truly love being and being a diverse business, including everyone and finding equitable ways for everyone to be in place, then this is what we do. You don't have to have it on your website. I'm just going to still speak it. So are you talking about,
you know, small businesses that the city does business with, like contracts?
Small businesses that they do business with, contracts, employees. I know that we have lost our, I guess, chief diversity officer. They've revamped that program. That's fine. But we still need to look at that work. Even if you change the name of it, whatever you want to do, it's still got to be done.
I take your point.
Yeah.
I want to pivot now and talk about public safety.
Yeah, let's
so
talk about
this is the Wilmington Fire Department, the Wilmington Police Department.
Yeah. I think they just named a chief of police this morning.
They did.
Or last night.
We're recording this on the 20th, and last night at City Council, they announced a former chief of police from Lynchburg, Virginia.
Yeah.
Is coming on down here in September, being the police chief. So, new police chief for a lot of people means
it's unanimous vote.
Unanimous vote, I heard. Mm-hmm. And I have heard from some of the incumbent candidates, R's and D's alike, that they were very excited about this candidate.
Okay.
So far, no scandal. Did a little light Googling.
No scandal yet.
Couldn't find anything. but it is, you know, it's a new police chief. It is, you know, for many people an opportunity to sort of reappraise what the department's been doing, how it does it, you know, what works, what doesn't. So, from your point of view, you know, City Council kind of has like one remove from the police department.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what would you like to see the police department, you know, do over the next 4 years?
So I would like to see, I've been asked this question a few times. I love what Chief Williams started, and I'd like to see that continue with the, you know, policing of the neighborhoods, but making sure that they're building that relationship. And I say that not just because of Wilmington, but just overall, right? I know the reasons, but there are reasons that people are just outrageously afraid of the police or what could potentially happen. So I think keeping that relationship building in place is very important in our community. I myself was speeding. Got pulled over. My son was only 5. I was going to church one Sunday morning in Winston-Salem, leaving Raleigh. I was 5 minutes from the church, and I have a concealed weapons permit. So I handed out my license. He went back to the car, and next thing I know, I saw several cars pulling up behind him, all blue lights.
Uh-oh.
And hands on their guns as they walk behind my car. And my 5-year-old son is in the back, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. He's like, Mommy, there's lots of police. And I'm like, yes, son. And so I keep my hands on the steering wheel. I look over, and I go, God, this got to be my twin sister. What did she do? But he was like, Ma'am, do you have a permit to carry a concealed weapon? And I said, yes, I do. He said, do you have your gun in the car? And I said, no, I'm on my way to church. And he waves his hand to tell everyone to go back. And then he says, okay, just for future reference, you have to present that to us. Otherwise, we could take that from you. And this is why the backup was called. Now, did I think the backup was a little bit too much? I did. However, I guess you just don't know. And police safety is also very important as well. I learned a valuable lesson that day. So ever since then, I've always presented it with my license and say, I am licensed to carry, but I would love to see that. What I'd love to see in the police department, though, is culture. And like any business, culture matters, right? How you treat your employees, how you treat your, is the same as how you treat your officers. So with this new police chief, I hope that he will, you know, treat them well. We need to really look at and I've heard this before, like, we are short officers, we're not paying them enough, we really need to look into that. I think it's interesting that sometimes, again, don't shoot the messenger, that we have city employees who can make way more money than our police officers. And that should be a little bit strange, and people should look at that and say, why are we doing that?
I can confirm I have heard from police officers who are, you know, potentially putting their life in danger every day.
Right.
Firefighters who definitely put their life in danger every day.
Absolutely.
And say, I'm paraphrasing here, but you've probably heard something similar. You know, why is that desk jockey making twice what I make?
I mean, it's
no
the
one
same,
gets killed in IT.
Right. It's the same as like teachers.
Yeah.
You know, they make less money, and yet they're the ones educating our children. So, but culture, I'd like to see that, you know, make sure that that police chief is, you know, creating a good culture. Like any other job, you know, I love Live Oak's motto, treat every customer like they're the only customer. But the reason why we can treat every customer like the only customer is because we get treated really well culturally at Live Oak Bank. We have a great culture at the bank. So I'd like to see that.
I definitely know that the city of Wilmington has been kind of in a bidding war with local municipalities about pay. And pay is a big part of it. When I talk to cops, I hear that. But to your point, I also hear about culture and morale.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that has to do with, you know, disagreements with the previous administration. But some of it has to do, I think, with what you're talking about, which is, you know, a clear path to promotion and career development.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think if you know that's on the horizon for you, money still matters, because money is America. Money will always matter.
Yeah, depending on what you're doing and if you're really passionate about it. But I'm not saying just because you're passionate about something that you shouldn't be paid your worth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, business owners are passionate about what they do all day long, but doesn't mean that they're going to short themselves on a product, right? It's the same thing with a police officer or a firefighter. You love your job. This is what you wanted to do. It's like a young boy who's playing with his trucks and he's wanting to be a truck driver for years. He's not going to short himself on income just because he always wanted to be a truck driver. He wants to be paid his worth. I think the officers, I think that's everyone should be paid their worth.
So here's our last policy question for you.
Okay.
And that is about public transportation. So over the last decade or so, I've watched Wave go through it. The county has been in, the county's been out. In terms of funding, a lot of the money comes from the federal government, but locally, the city of Wilmington has borne a lot of that on its back.
Mm-hmm.
And I still hear from people who rely on Wave, who feel like it is just onerous. It is very difficult to get to some parts of the city. You know, if you work in the hospitality industry, you know, your restaurant is where your restaurant is.
That's
and
right.
So sometimes that's two buses, and sometimes that's, you know, a couple hours to get to work. So
been there, done that.
Yeah, same. So what would you like to see Wave be able to do over the next 4 years?
I'd like to see Wave, one, stay in business, because there is a need. I know a lot of people want to think that it's not needed just because there is Uber and Lyft, but again, someone in the service industry is not going to be able to afford an Uber or a Lyft every day to and from work. So I'd love to see Wave stay in place. I do notice that I see buses all the time. There's not a lot of people on them. No, I'm not stepping on the bus just to count the people. I'm looking through the windows when I can see bodies. But maybe we find some type of way to, one, survey the areas, two, drive out further, but three, maybe find smaller buses to cover those routes. Because the larger buses, we clearly don't need the larger bus. Maybe you save the larger buses for the more populated areas where people are, you know, getting on those buses. I was talking with a few others last week, and we were talking about, like, a park and ride system. I came from Winston-Salem. We had a bus that came every 15 to 20 minutes, so we could pretty much get all over the city. And further out, it was a little longer, but, you know, your transfer worked. It was just a well-put-together bus system. And I don't know that that works here like that. The last time we talked about busing or even in the busing area was through Leadership Wilmington, through the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce. And so if you couldn't get through on a bus, you know, they talked about having like multiple bags of groceries because we were talking about food deserts and things like that, and how you couldn't take but so many bags on the bus. And I thought, that's crazy. So what about me as a single mom and I got to do my weekly grocery shopping and you're telling me I can't take but so many bags on the bus? And I was like, that's ridiculous. So that's probably another issue, you know, if that still exists. But that was, you know, 2022.
Yeah, I have heard people, you know, would be supportive of a park and ride. As you know, thousands and thousands of people come in from Brunswick and Pender County every day. And a lot of the people, as we were talking about, who are in our service industry, but also our teachers and even some of our law enforcement, they get their own vehicles. But, you know, people who are EMTs and stuff like that have been sort of priced out of living in this area. Mm-hmm. And I think would happily, you know, park in Leland or park in Hampstead and take a bus in if that was available.
I'd take a bus to work if I could take it and get downtown every day without having to take my car.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a people person, so, I mean, don't have bad breath and sitting beside me and talking. But I'm a people person, so I like to talk to people. But it would be, you know, a good thing to save money on gas prices. And, you know, if I could get to work in the right amount of time to take a bus and, you know, relax a little bit, I don't have to worry about all the traffic.
So the important question, though, is if no one else is willing to chip in and it's on the city of Wilmington, is that a place where the city could or should invest more money?
If the city has money, invest it.
All right.
That's it. That's the answer. That should be the answer to everything. If we care about our city, and I know this sounds so crazy to some, but if we care about our city and we have the money, invest it where it needs to go, right, to help resolve some of these issues.
All right. Well, those are our policy questions. I want to give you the opportunity, if there's anything else that you want to talk about, stuff that we didn't get to that you think is important for voters to know.
I want voters to know that I can't say I'm not a politician anymore because people are like, you're running for office, you're a politician.
I mean, here you are.
Yeah, here I am. But I want people to know that I am here because I wanted to help people. Before I moved here, I told my husband, we're not supposed to be in Clayton. We're supposed to live near the water, eat off the land, and help people. I have grown up that way. We've always helped. My grandmother always instilled that in us. We had, she always collected lots of extra food, blankets, sheets, things like that. She had two other beds that sat on her porch where anyone that didn't have a place to sleep, they slept. If they stayed with her, it was not a big deal. I mean, we were always anything from going door to door, picking up treasures on the street, you know, and giving those things away once she repaired them. So extra dishes, I swear she had so many dishes. But when you find that people are moving and they need a set of plates and pots and pans, that's how I grew up. It was always, you know, helping thy neighbor. And I don't think that we do that a lot anymore. Even down to, you know what, briefly, let's talk about gentrification.
All right, yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So I hear a lot of people say, we're being priced out of our homes in the black and brown neighborhoods. Yes, you are. But you also owe it to yourself and your neighbor that if their home is deteriorating in any way, don't be afraid to go next door to your neighbor and say, hey, I see that your steps are, you know, a little bit broken. Can we get some lumber and help you fix that? I'm not saying that you're going to always have the money to do that, but I know that it's not that expensive because I've repaired stairs also. So I know, Jane of all trades, in my home, putting some paint on the wall, but keeping people from looking at those homes saying, oh, that's dilapidated. Let's go after this home so we can tear it down and build this new two-story house that is now $400,000 for someone to purchase. And that's how we can, you know, eliminate that gentrification, in my opinion. So looking after your neighbors in your neighborhood and helping them keep their home, you know, help thy neighbor. So I just wanted to put that out there because that is a topic that I hear a lot, and I know that we can do better in our neighborhoods. And this is not just a black or brown thing. This is like any neighborhood that you're trying to keep. So, but yeah, just a chick that believes in the people's voice, want to make sure that it's heard, and I want to make sure that I'm always involved in the community before making a decision on city council and getting your opinions. So that's why I'm here.
All right. Well, Chikima, Clinton, Quintana, thank you very much for being here today.
You're welcome. Don't forget to vote, you guys. Early voting begins October 16th, and you can check out my website at www.electccq.com.
That was our interview with Chikima Clinton Quintana, a Democratic challenger running for a seat on Wilmington's City Council. I'm Ben Shockman. Thanks for listening to this special edition of The Newsroom. And check out our other candidate interviews at whqr.org or wherever you get The Newsroom as a podcast.